Well, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Great. We've been a really great assembly. I'm excited about that. I have silver dimes for the birthday kids. So mac and cheese, it was your birthday. Come on. Meet me halfway. And then Emmett, yeah, come on, boy. Dude, your shirt says Emmett. Ah, but they spelt it wrong. I've seen that movie, Emmett. I'm trying to remember. How does it go? Something about fun with friends. Man, I really wish I could remember that. Someone could get me started, I could finish it. Everything is awesome. And everything is awesome when you're living your dream. And that always hit me. I had to watch that movie. I had to watch that movie before youth camp one year. Cause I was Emmett, the Lego character in the skit that year. So I'm like, I don't know who that is or what this is. So I don't watch movies particularly. So I watched it and he said, everything is awesome when you're part of a team. I was like, hey, we're all on the same team, aren't we? And then he says, everything is awesome when you're living your dream. And I was like, I wouldn't want to live any other dream. I just want to go to heaven. How about you? I mean, I'm serious. There ain't much I want. Yeah, I wish my golf handicap would come down a little bit, you know. And it just won't. But you know what I really want? I just want to go to heaven. And I will do whatever it takes to make it. I will change my mind if it means changing my mind, if that's what God wants me to do. And I will prioritize you over myself, if that's what it's going to take. Because we're on a team. But that's the dream, isn't it? You know. You guys ever heard there is no I in team? Right? You ever heard the mockers say, yeah, but there is a me? Yeah. Yeah, there is a me in team. Christ in me. So, yeah, there is a me in team. Christ is in this team. Amen? But, Emmett, they spelt your name wrong, dude. You guys can turn to Galatians. I don't know what chapter I'm going to start in, so you just turn there. I'll figure it out. When we get there. So, just a couple quick thoughts, you know. Today's the fifth Sunday of the month, isn't it? Which means we got shotgun preaching tonight. So, really encourage you to come back for that. I'll probably just put four verses up here. And y'all are going to have to shotgun it, you men. And you're going to have to fill in those slots. So, you be ready to go. But I've been doing something in the mornings on the fifth Sunday of the month as well. You guys remember that? And it's been delivering a short message. And then you go and take that head start on the afternoon to go be a part of the team. So you guys leave here early today. You go have coffee with a friend. Maybe you get to know somebody you don't know as well. Go to lunch. If lunch wasn't in the cards today because it wasn't in the budget, I understand that. Make plans with people later. It doesn't have to be today. But that's the purpose of this. It is to also foster and to encourage fellowship among the team. You know, we ain't just a team on Sundays, right? We're the kingdom of the living God. And God has designed this so that this kingdom would shine its light in Billings. And I want Billings to know that God exists and He's good. How about you? And we are the mechanism by which that's going to happen. You! And you get to do that at Winco and at, well, I guess if you're working from home, you can do that, you know. But at your job, you know, you get all kinds. So I just, you know, but our bond and our like-mindedness and unity in the Spirit, I mean, that's only going to strengthen that. So I really encourage you to go. Look, if lunch wasn't in the budget, you know, how many of y'all got, don't raise your hands, you know, how many of y'all got budgets? You know, I got one, and it says, nope, we can't go. Nope, Can't buy the $2,000 plane ticket. You know, I mean, budgets do that sometimes. So if that wasn't in the budget today, there are multiple families in this congregation who have come up to me and said, money will not be an issue. If you want to go to lunch with somebody, it's covered. You just come to me and I'll point you to who those people are and they'll buy you lunch. Okay? But, you know, I had another thought here too. So I'm going to give you a short message, and it might not seem like I am, but I will. But I've got too many thoughts, okay? I saw something recently that I thought, boy, that might be worth sharing. So I had to fix it to match the scriptures. I have never heard this in our congregation, okay? That's not why I'm bringing it up, but it is a good thing to be reminded of. Maybe, you know, you ever finished assembly and walked away and said, boy, I didn't really like service today. Did it ever occur to you that maybe we weren't serving you? And that maybe we were serving God? You know? I have no idea. Okay, there's shotgun preaching tonight, so there's nobody. You know, I'm not coming tonight because I don't like listening to Nolan, you know? It's like, did it ever occur to you that we're not here for you? You know, does the Christian worship in spirit and truth? Are we worshiping God right now? Are we serving God? Did it ever occur to you that we're not here for you? Okay. Now, I have never heard anybody specifically say that in this congregation, but I know how the human mind works, and I thought that'd be a good reminder for us. You know, you leave here and you're like, yeah, you know, the lighting was all wrong, and the color of them chairs, you know, I just never did get over that one, and I'm all picking things I've never heard anybody ever say before, except that I don't really like Nolan's preaching. I hear that one, you know, from time to time. you know, hey, newsflash. We ain't serving you, okay? We're serving the Lord. And you said you wanted to make it to heaven, didn't you? That's the only thing that matters. I have one more thought. I don't want to put you on the spot too bad here, but anybody remember the message from last week? A lot of you, I do get really good feedback from the messages. I got a ton of really good feedback from last week's message. It was the Tower of Babel, right? How mankind just loves to just come together and build its towers to heaven by its own might. And then God confused them and separated them. And what have they been doing for thousands of years since then? They're like little ants trying to figure out how to colonize all over again. And now technology has allowed them to do that, right? And I said, what did I say? I said the UN was the first major step in that. Did you guys see what the UN's putting out now? It's Pact for Liberty. They voted this thing in. And I just wanted to share this with you. Not only does it turbocharge globalism, what do we got here? Make decisions through an international court of justice. So the things that protect you as an American can be stripped for you because power is being given to the international justice system. Interesting. International taxation. Yeah, you're not being taxed enough, brethren. Okay? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to show you the message is relevant. Right. Heed the message. Okay? I'm not up here making this stuff up because I like my 20 minutes of fame, 40 minutes of fame. I'm going to try and be done here in about 7 minutes. One of the major power grabs in the UN's final agreement involves the UN's response to what is now described as complex global shocks. Do you know what that means? That means if there's another pandemic, they can do whatever they want. And that means that if they can prove global warming, they can do whatever they want. So that's what the little ants are doing. They're just scurrying back to the anthill trying to build a tower to heaven. And God's answer to that is what? The church, man, like, that's the only thing that matters. Look, I get it. I have the same worries and the same frustrations and maybe not the same challenges, but it's like, you keep that mindset on things above, brethren, and you just make it to heaven, okay? And everything else is under the influence of Satan, but the church is God's answer to this wild, wild world, okay? We are the light of the world, and we want to be shining our light. So, we're in Galatians here. So I have to pick a message in 10 minutes or less, and I'm trying to decide, you know, what should I do? Now, the school kids are memorizing Galatians, and I'm half tempted to make them quote this with me while I read it today, but none of them are paying attention, you know. They're still not hearing me, by the way. They're that checked out. Well, James is paying attention. James is usually pretty good. Mackenzie's now on board now. She's picked up on it. There's Damian, Trinity, and Matthew. There they are. Okay. Well, you're not getting totally called out. It is a little distracting, though. And I got to give Ava credit. She was with James. She's paying attention the whole time. But, you know, I was going to have the school kids quote this with me, but they weren't ready. So we'll move on. But I've had this thought in my mind because we've been going through Galatians. Yeah, that was for the parents. That wasn't if you're a parent of one of them kids. You know, they've been kind of grouping up back there. They don't really pay attention all that much. So just wanted you to know. Galatians chapter 1. This is really interesting, okay? Paul opens up to the churches in Galatia, and he says, in verse 15, when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, which is why you're voting against 128, okay? If from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, I did not preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, when I'm writing to you, I assure you before God that I'm not lying. And I went to the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. And then he goes on to say the churches of Judea, which are in Christ, were glorifying God because Saul, who had once been ravaging the church, was now preaching the gospel, which he once tried to destroy. So you're reading Galatians 1. And you're like, what is Paul doing? He's like, I assure you I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. When I became a Christian, I went here. This is who I saw. This is who I didn't see. This is where I went, how long I stayed, and exactly what I did. Have you guys noticed that in Galatians chapter 1? Now, he's doing that for a reason. Okay? And for that reason is for Galatians chapter 2. Okay, so he says in verse 2, following that theme of where I've been, who I've seen, and more importantly, brethren, who I have not seen, okay, he says, after an interval of 14 years, okay, so we got 14 years packed in about the span of 6 verses. He says, I went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up. And I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, and I did so in private to those who have reputation for fear that I have been running or might have run in vain. Do you guys have the picture? 14 years of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles has gone by. And he said, I haven't seen any of the other apostles. I did bump into Peter and stayed with him. Okay? But I didn't see these people. I haven't been there. Nobody in Judea has even seen my face. Okay, 14 years. Then he shows up to Jerusalem, and I'll explain why he's there in a minute. But then he shows up to Jerusalem, and he says who he's brought, and what did he do? He shows up to the apostles later, who he will name specifically, is Peter, James, and John, and he shares the gospel with them that he's been preaching to the Gentiles for how long? Talk about an important meeting, huh? Paul goes even as farther as to say, a part of me is a little nervous that I had maybe done this in vain. What's he saying there? If my gospel that I've been preaching for 14 years doesn't match the apostles, someone's wrong. And I don't want it to be me, because he loves God and he wants to go to heaven. That's the only thing that should motivate and drive us. Okay? So that's what's happened, is what he has been, you ever labored for something for 14 years just to find yourself in a position where you can find out whether any of it mattered in the blink of a moment? Yeah, like all the time. Now, why are they gathered together? In verse 3, he says, not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. See, if you don't understand what's happening here, you know, the scriptures take sharp turns sometimes, okay? And you got to be able to follow what's going on here. He's in Jerusalem. He's trying to say that the people he's talking to face to face for the first time. And then he says, by the way, we brought a Greek and we didn't circumcise him. Verse 4, it was because of false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. So what had happened, and you understand your Bibles very well, is that a lot of the Jewish Christians were trying to force the law of circumcision, which actually predates Moses, but that's a whole other thing. The Jewish Christians were trying to force the law of circumcision onto the Gentiles. And they were even going as far as saying, yeah, you know, you have faith and you've repented and you've confessed Jesus as Lord and you've been immersed in his name in water for the forgiveness of your sins to receive the Holy Spirit, but you're still not saved because you haven't been physically circumcised. What a destructive message to the church. Could you imagine if we were bringing that message today? Like, how contrary to the gospel is that? I mean, that's deadly. That's fleshly. That's sin. Okay. And so it's so rampant in the first century church that they had to have this huge meeting in Jerusalem where this big meeting of the minds came. And that's why God, the Spirit, told Paul, you need to go to this meeting. So he brings a Greek Christian who's not circumcised to prove his point. This is the gospel I'm preaching, and that man is saved, and he is a Greek and uncircumcised. So he brings his object lesson to show and tell in Jerusalem. Okay? That's what's happening. Now, maybe that was a little too much information for you to, you know, to just grab all in one swoop. What's important is there's an issue in the churches. God sent Paul to help be a part of the solution, and the apostles show up and the elders to dig into this matter. To set the stage in Galatians, Paul makes it very clear since his conversion where he's been, how long he's been there, who he's seen, and who he has not seen. So what that means is when he shows up to Jerusalem and shares with them the gospel that he's been preaching for 14 years, he's telling it to people for the very first time. There's no insider trading. There's no pacts among them. No emails have been exchanged. He's looking these men in the face for the first time in his life, and he's saying, this is what I've been taught by Jesus and what I'm preaching. That's the stage. You see that? That's what's going on. Now that we understand why they're there, in verse 5, in verse 4, we saw that people were coming in, bringing in destructive teachings into the church, specifically spying out our liberty. And what that verse means is when you put people under law, you're bringing them into bondage. And that's what forcing circumcision on people is. Okay? So then in verse 5, a really great verse that I'm appreciative of, we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Aren't you thankful for Paul sticking up for the faith and for the gospel? Because of this stand in this meeting, the gospel remains preachable to this day. Do you think that there are meetings and conversations and Bible studies that you've been a part of where you stood for truth that might have preserved the truth of the gospel for a generation to come 2,000 years from now? Is that possible? It's kind of hard to believe the earth goes on for another 2,000 years. Trust me, I understand that. But what you do and the stands you take, they matter. Okay? Now, verse 6, he says, those who are of high reputation, so he's talking about Peter, James, and John, just the big wigs, the people who have gifts of the Spirit, they're apostles by Jesus' choosing. I mean, they're pretty prominent figures in the church. Elders, they are, okay? He says, from those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. He's not being a stubborn child, brethren. He's not saying, well, I don't have to listen to them because they're not the boss. That's not what he's saying. He's saying they're men of high reputation. Now, what they are makes no difference because it doesn't mean that they're more important than anyone else. His point is, I wasn't swayed by that. I wasn't swayed by their reputation. But that means nothing to me. All I can do is preach what Christ has given to me. Okay? So he says, for those who are of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God doesn't show partiality. Well, those who have reputation contributed nothing to me. Peter, James, John, apostles, elders, had he spent time with those people? No. He said no. They didn't give me anything. They didn't give me the inside scoop. We didn't have a pre-meeting before the meeting. Emails weren't exchanged. They didn't contribute anything to me. The gospel I was giving to them was the gospel that I've been preaching that was given to me by Jesus. It was not given to me by John. Okay, so that's his point there. In verse 7, he says, but on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter and his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles, recognizing the grace that had been given me, James, Cephas, and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Okay? And this is what I wanted to show us today. And then I'll let you out of here. Okay? I just titled the message Scriptural Fellowship. Look, Paul shows up. He'd been preaching a gospel message for 14 years, and he's about to share it with Peter, James, and John. And it's either going to match what they've been doing for 14 years, or it's not. If it matches, then they know they're on the same team. Right? If it doesn't match, someone's wrong. And that's why he said, look, I didn't talk to them beforehand. I went away to Arabia, then once more to Damascus. I went to Jerusalem. These are the only people I've seen and the people I haven't seen. So when I'm here talking to these guys, it's for the first time. So that way, when we compare notes, we're going to find out, are we on the same team or not? So as I send you out of here today for fellowship, you see what I'm saying? For fellowship, you got to understand, it is only fellowship if the notes match. It is only fellowship if you're preaching the same gospel. Scriptural fellowship. You might have a best friend in the entire world, and if they're not a Christian, it is not scriptural fellowship. It is not unity of spirit. It is not intent on one purpose. It is not scriptural fellowship. That does not mean that these people are terrible people. Don't flood my inbox with these emails. You guys don't do that. But do you see what I'm saying? If we're going to call Bible things by Bible names and we're going to be pillar and support of the truth, right? It is, look, if you leave this building today and you have unity among the brethren and you have things in common and there's fellowship, remember, it is only possible because the notes match. What we have is amazing, but it is the foundation of scriptural fellowship. We all don't have the same interests. Some of our personalities just naturally rub each other the wrong way. That's even true as well. But it is the true only binding source of fellowship on this earth. And we have to remember that. The preaching of truth is important. Our adherence to the gospel and to the teachings of the Bible are first and foremost important. The fellowship is the result of that, right? But if you strip the notes, and the notes don't match, and you bend on truth, or you try to say the scriptures don't say what they say, the fellowship's gone. So as we leave today, let's strengthen that fellowship, because this is way more than Sunday. This is way more than even the preaching that I am so excited to be a part of on Lord's Day morning. But you remember, that bond that we have and the relationships that we're trying to strengthen are built on the scriptures, and that is the foundation of those relationships. He says, as soon as they saw that my message matched their message, what did Galatians say? Then they extended the right hand of, okay, okay, yeah. Now we're bros. You're a scriptural Christian. Now there's real. Doesn't mean that you can't have relationships outside of the body and that there isn't substance there. And we keep those relationships in order to share the gospel. But I mean a scripturally founded fellowship relate. You're a scriptural Christian because you stand on the Word of God. So let's build on that foundation. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I'm just so grateful for your assembly, for everyone here who has made you and your kingdom and your righteousness a priority. Lord, we just want to make it to heaven. We're so grateful for what you've done on our behalf. Our faith has always started at that journey where we recognize that we are nothing on our own and that we need you, Lord. And just pray that, you know, the world brings its worries and its distractions. Let's be, as your body in Billings here, founded on the truth of the gospel and the fellowship that we have founded on that. Be the light to this town first, as it goes out from there. But we're only as strong as our unity and our bond with one another. I'm so grateful that it was brought out so well today. It is on every single one of us to make sure that what is being taught from up front is in accordance with the scriptures. You can't go to heaven and say, "Ah, well, the pastor told me," because he'll tell you that's not what a pastor is, and that would not be good. So we want to make sure that the foundation we have is on the scriptures. That's where the source of true fellowship comes from. But the strength of our ability to shine the light in this town is related to the strength and the unity that we have amongst one another. Thank you for the opportunity we have to grow those bonds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.